One of Edvard Grieg's most loved piano pieces is the Nocturne from Lyric Pieces, Opus 54, number 4, Notturno or Nocturne, Music of the Night. And it has this lovely character, both a kind of lightness and freshness to it. In the beginning we have this. But there's also a thick and kind of viscous quality with a chromatic, romantic harmonies when we get to. Very like unstable and clear, and it's going to be a lot of harmony when we look at this. And I'm going to mention five things in the beginning that we're going to see a lot of. And the first one is the half diminished chord that we have here. It has these amazing properties of kind of opening up possibilities to go in all kinds of directions. It's like the semiconductor of music theory, but there's no shortage of half diminished chord in this piece. Oh my god. And the second thing is chord with extensions, just stack up thirds. So we have an E, then E7, and E9, and 11. Those kind of extensions. Then about the relations in the harmony, it's hard to say the function in a traditional way because it's almost constantly in modulation. It's going somewhere, so it's hard to say where the tonic is. It's only on a few places we get the proper resolution, but we can still identify like three common harmonic shifts. And the first one is the common cadence, a 5-to-1 progression, especially in the end of the sections and the phrases. And the second one is the chromatically altered version going a tritone. There's a lot of that. And then the third one is the famous median shift. So like taking something and then doing it a median up or down. So a third up or down. And as always, Grieg presents some material and then he puts it in a sequence. So going these harmonic directions and makes the music really interesting. Let's have a look at it. So we start firmly in C major with this lovely chromatic bass line. Goes through the A flat, creating a plus 5 in between. And then we get this impulse in the right hand. But it immediately comes to rest on a long note, so it takes on this reflective flavor. And then it's repeated. With a little bit of variation. And just this motif, it's just so typical Grieg. You can say it's Grieg immediately if you just hear this. Something with those notes, the configuration of the fourth and the third, I don't know, but yeah. And now. Now we start digging in the chromatic fields for real. So we have this half diminished chord. C, F sharp half diminished with C in the bass. Going to another half diminished with a suspension that's really aching and longing suspension. And all the time in this section we have these two bar phrases that's creating like a surge, a big wave growing for one bar and then reaching this important note on the first beat of the second bar and then falling back. So, and it's important to really show this gesture in the music. And fall back. And now again. So it's a sequence, one note down, and it's again half diminished. This half diminished to this half diminished, and then turning to a flat 7, but it's spelled like an augmented 6 chord, and then going to A flat to D, that's a tritone shift. The first tritone shift in the piece. And the thing with this is, if you have an A flat 7, and go to D7. As when I voiced it this way, two of the notes in the chord stay the same. You need to have the 7 in the chord. But the C and the F sharp, it's actually a tritone within this chord. Because of the symmetry of the tritone in the octave, if we go a tritone, the notes are the same. And this is what's so useful with this shift. We also have it in other romantic music, for example, Rachmaninoff Prelude in C sharp minor. It's D7, but now with A in the bass. Going to G sharp 7. That's a dominant to C sharp. So D7, G sharp 7. It's the same tritone, actually, the same key, G sharp instead of A flat. But A in the bass is slightly different. Yeah. Okay, now here we're not in C sharp minor. We have go here instead, and this is actually going back to A flat major, but now in first inversion. So it's a very freshness to this chord. Now try the same thing again, but now the melody reaches a note higher, an E instead of an E flat. Back to the D7 and to the G. And these last three bars, it's actually more of a common cadential progression. So this is an E7, so if we think E here, but its second inversion is B in the bass, but E to A half diminished to D to G. It's actually going the third circle of fifth progression, but with all these variations on the surface, it's E in second inversion, half diminished of course. Here, the G, you don't really recognize the G because it has a double leading note. It's a 9 on top, resolving, and E flat is a plus 5, resolving. So it's really nice, it really takes time with the resolution, but in the end, we get to breathe and stay in a resolved harmony for a little time here. And in general, about this section, I feel it's like a powerful dichotomy. On the one hand, we have these very clear phrases, rise and fall of two bars. But on the other hand, it's so unclear and unstable, all the harmonies, never finding the resolution until the end. So it's like it can't decide. Also, should it be two or three eighth notes on the beat? Well, let's just do both. It's two and three at the same time. So we have two in the right hand and three in the accompaniment, all to create this kind of floating quality. Okay, that's the first section. Now we get into the middle section. That's quite adventurous. There are some new and exciting things happening. To start off, there's like a bird call in the higher register. What chord? Of course, the half diminished. And when you place it like this, voicing, it's actually the Tristan chord. But of course you can, what's the Tristan chord? It's just a half diminished in a special voicing, acting in some kind of intermediary harmonic chord. That's what it does. But now when we add the bass note here, the G, it's more stable, because then it's just extension on G, it's a G9 chord. But now we get a repeat, it's a sequence, take it a third up. Typical Grieg sequence in thirds. So now, like a new tonality. And the B flat. And now into the Piumoso section. Lovely music. So basically it's just one new motif, the material of this theme in 16th notes, with two voices, nice kind of horn fifth, some kind of bit chromatic, two voices, and then he just takes this four times in exciting new harmonic entries. So the first one is, we're coming from here, a B flat 9, and go down to E, that's tritone, and it's E9 of course, and then we just stack another third on top, raising it a third to we get E11, and then so it's nice to kind of go forward a little bit here to when the piano pianissimo comes to really go down and make it a surprise. So this is actually an A flat 9. Don't be fooled with an E flat in the bass, because this is a chord, but it's in second inversion with an E flat, and it's because of the voice leading of the bass. We go from E, if you look at the left hand bass notes, E flat and then D and then going down to G. And at the same time the right hand is going higher and higher, and then so it's widening the register with all these entries. But really soft here, lovely surprise. And of course, I forgot, A flat to from E to A flat, that's a median. So we're... And then A flat to D, tritone. And finally, a normal 5-1, D to G. But it's a G13, a lot of extensions. And again, a big wave rising and falling down. And I think you can take a lot of time here to pause. And then G leads back to C, which is the tonic here. We get a recapitulation of the first theme in C major. Starts identically at the first time, and it goes on for a while in the same. But now, here he takes a new path to move to another harmonic area. So from the D, in G, but from here on it's the same, but now we have this G7 that's reaching higher, so that we end up on C. The first time we end up on G, and now we end up on C, but it's not the C with the double leading notes of the plus 5. That's the first time. The second time, it's immediately C7. So he kind of continues the direction, the progression. And now it's very unclear. Yeah, so now it's F, C to F, continue the circle of fifth. B flat. Flat. It's kind of you're sinking down in quicksand, this harmony. So it just goes chromatically down from the here on the seventh, kind of bluesy feeling, and he takes the theme in the melody and repeats, and then repeats a shorter part of it, and then just the final. And it's amazing mechanism. So we have no idea where we are, but somehow we end up on G7, which is dominant back to C. But now without the bass note. And instead. We get the bird call again, and it's amazing how this progression, when you add B flat in the bass, on C it's C7, and to the A he adds F in the bass. And the E is the major 7, a lovely, lush, nostalgic chord. And the trill. And then it's a pause. Now he has the same idea but changes the harmony to this. So that's a F minor 7. So the first time is F major, major 7, and then it's F minor 7. They're kind of both the same category of chords, a bit mixed emotions, but this is slightly more subdued. The major is more open, and then it's like looking back even more in a reflective way somehow. Oh, sorry. I was looking back too much. And then pause again, and then just going back to C major, where what is the tonality? Proper cadence with the G and the 6. Cannot do it just. It has to be more color. And end with a really low bass note. So that's Grieg's Nocturno. Thanks for watching. A special shout out to my Patreon sponsors S. Lam and Y. Garnevsky.